At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the St. Arnold Beer Garden, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Everybody, a great, great Thursday morning as we head into one of the great sports days in the city of Houston that I can remember. What with the Texas Children's Houston Open teeing it up right about now, very shortly. The Astros opening day at 3 o'clock. And then the Cougs Sweet 16 at Toyota Center at 9. How about that? And we're celebrating it at St. Arnold's. That's where Lance and Dell are. AJ's back at the studio commanding the desk. And here we are, the board. And here we are, guys. We have been waiting for this day all week long, and here we are. What a great day. And the Rockets kicked it off last night with a beauty.
Oh, man.
What a beauty. Holy
what
crap.
What
about that? Listen, 12 straight points to take the lead late in the game. I mean, you talk about clutch. And then 13 straight points to start
26-2 run. They had a 26-2 run at one point.
Yeah.
That's incredible. A 26 to. Well, you. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Oh, well,
spoiler alert.
Well, it's not.
We weren't there yet.
Alert.
It was a 26-2 run.
Right.
A 13 point lead. They scored 13 points in less than 2 minutes in overtime. Incredible.
So.
Now, what people are going to tell you, what the negative people are going to focus on is that the Rockets set a record for the largest comeback in overtime history since they've kept play-by-play stats in 1997-98. So negative people are going to go, yeah, but for this over the last, you know, whatever, 28, over the last 28 years, it's the biggest comeback hit in the history of the sport. Yeah, I mean, on paper. But what people should be focusing on is the 26-2 run. Not Kevin Durant's two free throws could have tied it in overtime after losing a, you know, a 13-point lead with only 3 minutes to go in the game. You know, so, like I said, the negative people are going to focus on the fact that it was a record-breaking loss. But the positive people amongst us are going to focus on the great comeback and how cool that was.
Well, so yeah, two comebacks. Know. The Rockets' comeback, where they scored 12 straight, take the lead.
Well, that was
the
good
Kevin
one.
Durant just starts throwing the ball all over the place. And LB has got his lip, which is hanging down to his chest. And but he blocks the shot. They go to overtime. Rockets destroy him. And in somebody put out, I don't know if it's true, but teams that have a 10-point lead.
True.
Teams that have a 10-point lead in overtime, we're 180-0 until last night.
Well, I mean, it is the largest comeback in the history of overtime.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
right.
Probably so.
Yeah, that's a bit.
I mean, it's
very
it checks out
that that's true. I don't care if it's true or not. I like the stat 1-180. The Rockets doing stuff nobody else ever did. Okay.
Yeah. You know, Kevin Durant had been 10-for-10 from the free throw line and tricks off two, and just the turnovers, as you mentioned, and they start shooting threes, missed threes. They had an 8-second turnover call in overtime. It was, you know, the comeback was just, that was something really exciting to get back from that deficit, that late in the 11-point deficit, to come back that late in the game showed a lot of heart for the Houston Rockets. And then they carried it over with, you know, a tremendous start. You had Reed had a three. You had Kevin Durant had a three. Alpi had a dunk. Amen Thompson had a dunk. KD had a technical free throw make. Like, they legitimately scored they scored 26-2 over the latter part of the portion of the fourth quarter into the first, like, into the first 2 minutes, basically, of overtime. And then just a complete and total meltdown. And it's games like this, John. The comeback was great, but, you know, all jokes aside. But it's games like this, it's losses like this to playoff teams like this, where you are right now, you know, you're in the sixth seed. You're kind of locking in into the sixth seed right now, is what you're doing.
Well,
you went from three to six.
You ain't out of the woods as far as a play-in.
You're not out of the woods, but it's going to be pretty tough. I saw the odds are like 17%.
Really? What were the odds that they would blow a 13-point lead in overtime?
Yeah, I get it, but I don't know that the Suns are just going to finish on a.
Well, we'll see. They play each other.
The Suns have to. Yeah, they play each other. But it's seven. I think it's 83% Rockets no play-in, 17% play-in. So it's still pretty low, relatively speaking. But it doesn't matter. I mean, they're playing.
I got faith.
They're playing poorly, like, playing or not. It really doesn't matter right now. I don't see how they can beat good teams. Anthony Edwards didn't play.
Yeah.
Did we mention Anthony Edwards didn't play? Did we mention it in overtime? Five of their seven top players weren't even in the – they weren't even available by the time you got to the overtime. You were beaten by a B team again.
Yeah.
You're beaten by a B team again.
Well,
with a 13-point lead late. Like, it was – Dell was surmising that maybe when the microphones are off, that Ryan Hollins and Craig aren't very happy with this team. I'll just leave it there. I would say that's probably accurate.
That is one way of describing it.
It's a friendly way.
Yeah, it's the way that's preferable.
Yeah, I protected you.
I just asked the question.
I protect all producers is what I say.
Jonas said or mimicked or repeated what KD allegedly wrote about a certain player on the roster.
Uh-huh.
All I asked was, is KD more insulting to this team when he's got a burner or Ackerman or Hollins when the mics are off after having a sit through what they have to sit through this year?
They sat through all of them.
Yeah. Watching this team.
I've got to imagine at some point you have to say something that's not complimentary because the games are the games. And this is, you know, KD was hobbling at the end of the game. They had to take him out. It was a great comeback. It was a great story. If you just would have finished, it would have been a great story. You know, I know Anthony Edwards is missing, but it still would have been a great comeback, a great story. Maybe you try to build some momentum. Instead, it's just another in what looks like a brick in your, you know, it just. What is it? Not the Cask of Amontillado. What's the one where they brick the guy into the wall? Edgar Allan Poe. I can't. I'll try. I'll remember it. That's what it feels like. It just feels like you're being bricked into a wall, or you're just having, more simply, just your casket's already in the ground and just more dirt being shoveled on you.
Is any chance that Luka Doncic doesn't play in the postseason? Because that would be nice. Even without their best player, they still beat people. I don't know. There's got to be some way that the Rockets can advance out of the first round, but I don't see it. I don't see how. I just don't. This is just they're playing about as poorly as you can possibly play with the talent. Now I will say this: do you know how many points the bench has scored the last two games combined? Take a wild guess.
I don't know, 46 points.
Okay. Dell, you have any idea?
Considering the tone of this conversation, bench points.
Well, they're not playing a whole
Tari
lot.
Tari doesn't shoot the ball well. Reed is now in the starting lineup. I'm going to go a combined 19 points.
Ooh. 20. 20.
Yeah.
Yucky.
Yeah.
God,
20 points.
Low.
20 points. This
in
is
overtime.
This is a team. Well, I mean, you're missing Fred and you're missing Steven Adams.
You've been missing Fred the whole year. We got to stop saying missing
Fred.
Right. You're not missing Fred. You're missing Steven Adams. Yeah. And you've been missing him for a while. And guess what? Somebody else came in his spot. So,
and when you picked up Clint Capela in the offseason, you said, wow, why are you doing that? You already got Steven Adams. What do you need all that for?
Thank God you got him.
Yeah, well, thank God you got him because he's not doing anything. Nobody's doing it. That bench is the worst bench in basketball. It's the worst bench in basketball.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
It's got to be something worse than that.
No. It's the worst bench in basketball.
Didn't there have to be somebody worse than that? Golly, man. I knew Tari was missing again, but 1 of 7.
Well, Reed sucks, too, right now. I mean.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, I know. Here's a question I have for you, John. Now, Reed is supposed to have elite shooting talent, right?
Yeah.
I've said that he's an elite shooter. But you know what elite shooters never do? When they get wide open looks from the corner where no one's even closing them out, when they take that shot, they usually make it. If they don't make it, it's an in and out. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like a free throw. If you get wide open look and you're an elite shooter and no one is around you, you're going to either make it or be inside the cylinder and maybe have it rattle out. Reed had a look like that in the third quarter, and it literally donked off the front of the rim like it wasn't even close. Like, he wasn't even close. And this is the thing. Reed the other day made a three, and he came down and kind of heat checked it, took another three, this time from probably 3 feet behind the top of the key, and he hit the side of the backboard with no rim. Like, he's facing the rim, and he hit the side of the backboard. Like, it didn't even hit rim. This is not the – it wasn't blocked or anything like that. These are not the shots of an elite shooter.
No.
Like, you should be close to making most shots if you're an elite shooter. And Reed Sheppard hit the side of a backboard. That's something Corey Brewer would have done.
Yeah.
Corey Brewer would have taken a shot that missed rim and hit the side of the backboard straight on. That's a Corey Brewer shot. That shouldn't be a Reed Sheppard shot.
Do you know what his shooting percentage is this month? The Rockets are 6-7 this month. 6-7. Do you know what his shooting percentage is this month from the field?
From the field?
Yeah.
Oh, he's shot a lot. He's had a couple good games, but I'm going to say 42%.
40.7. His three-point percentage, 34.5. That's not an elite shooter.
Not an elite shooter, but for Reed,
no.
Last
month he was 30. He was 42% from three.
Yeah, actually, it's his second lowest. He's had a 33%.
Yeah, right.
January,
right.
But did come back with 41.9 in February. I mean, he shot it better there.
Yeah.
And inside of March, he had that big game. So that actually includes a couple of pretty good games for him, and he's still at that number.
Yeah.
Averaging 15.3 points a game, but from an efficiency standpoint, just not very good. Just not very good. It's a really God, man. I don't want to be negative. I love playoff basketball. But this just feels like they're just playing out the stretch right now. It feels like they've lost all their mojo.
I don't know. I saw effort. I mean, I just think that they're.
Well, I saw effort.
I know. I mean, I don't think they're just playing it out. I think that they put everything that they could into it. They're just not good enough. They're just not good enough.
Well, I should
say,
I'm okay.
Zero help off the bench. Zero help off the bench.
I'm waiting.
Kevin Durant. Kevin, they're 23 from the line. Kevin Durant's free throw. And Kevin Durant's turnovers in critical situations. I know he's the best, and all you KD, okay, eight, you know.
Okay, dream shake.
He gets across midcourt, and he just gives the ball away.
I see what his excuse is going to be today for KD.
Well,
I mean, I've never seen anyone make more excuses for a guy. What was it this time where he missed two critical free throws and had – like, KD is just not playing good in clutch situations.
That free throw was so bad. That's not a clutch. That's not.
He was 10 of 10 headed into it.
That's not one of the great players of all time. With the game on the line, you got two free throws to tie the game. He barely caught rim on the front. He barely caught the front rim. I mean, talk about. Well, he did blame himself. AJ, you got this. This is after the game. KD talking about why the Rockets lost this basketball game. AJ's getting it here. Here is Kevin Durant. I mean, he was pretty down afterwards, and can't blame him. Eight assists, six turnovers. He's looking at his own stats while he's reading, while he's answering this question. He's reading his own stats, and he takes the blame.
Dude, I turned it over six times. Then I missed that free throw. I really believe we lost because I missed that free throw. And I turned it over six times, to be honest with
you. I did too.
There's plenty of times I went up there thinking I had somebody open. I'm trying to pass and I should have shut the ball. That's it. And I got to make the free throws at the end.
Yep, you got to make the free throws at the end. He went on. We got some more sound from him. We got some. Alpi was just dumbfounded. Alpi lost. That was a great block to send the game in overtime. That's for sure. But man, oh man, oh man, he was so pitiful defensively. He let everybody just run by him in overtime. It was embarrassing, just standing there and letting guys with wide open layups. And then he misses a chippy. Amen misses a chippy. Alpi misses another. It was just. Holy crap, guys, come up with one basket and you win the game. One basket. It just unbelievable how bad that was. We're breaking. We're live at St. Arnold's Brewery all day long. We got all the shows out there today. Want you to get on out there. Texas Children's Open, the Astros opening day, and 9 o'clock, you got the Cougs in Illinois in the Sweet 16 at Toyota Center. Doesn't get any better. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the St. Arnold Beer Garden. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Wow. Some stats here. Any idea the numbers, the incredible numbers that Dorian Finney-Miss has put up these last four games?
No, but I mean, I don't even care about that guy. That was a miss. Move on. I literally, like,
that's
they could wave him
exception.
Right.
Exception. That is you could, just I know, a it's zero. Not,
it's not like a huge chunk of money, but it's a roster spot that is literal zero. I don't want him. And Josh Okogie gets more minutes now, wisely. But that was a miss. Rafael missed. And move on. Cut him. Get rid of him. I guess let him play out the rest of the season. But that guy is a feels like a roster jinx at this point. How good has he been? I bet you're going to tell me something pretty good.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, guess how many points he has? Four-game stretch,
I'll say three.
One.
Oh, I was over with three. Unbelievable. Yeah. He didn't play as much now either, though.
No, but he's got 1 point, 1.5 rebounds. I don't know how you have 1.5 rebounds.
Just literally, he's a zero. We spent all that time, wasted all that time. You know, when DFS gets here, that's really going to be interesting to see what he can bring to the table as well. We spent all that time. I feel like I how many summers do I have left before I die? How many summers do I? That's what they say. You start looking at that, and start to really get creeped out about how much time. How many summers do I have left before I die? And I spent how much time talking about when Dorian Finney-Smith gets back? Why did I waste my time talking about Dorian Finney-Smith? What a fool I was.
If you go by the Gilbert prediction, you have one more summer.
Yeah, exactly. I may have one more summer. This year could be it. And what was I doing? When Finney-Smith, I wonder what's going to happen. What is the rotation going to look like with Dorian Finney-Smith? Who cares? It's going to look worse.
Yeah. He's averaging 1 point in those last four games. Zero. He's averaging zero in the last two games.
I tell you what, man. I give Brad Doe credit. He's bringing up stats that are not complimentary because that's the real.
Yep.
This is real facts. Not a bunch of pom-pom waving. This team's a disappointment, and it's getting worse.
The last 2:30 of overtime. Minnesota 15 points, Rockets none. Minnesota four rebounds, Rockets none. Minnesota 4 assists, Rockets none. Minnesota 6 of 7 in field goals, Rockets 0 for 4. Free throws 1 of 1, 0 for 2. 3 pointers 2 for 2, 0 for 1. 2 pointers 4 for 5, 0 for 3. 1 offensive rebound, 3 defensive rebounds, 0 blocks, 1 steal, 0 turnovers, 5 points off turnovers. Rockets 0-0-0-0-0, 2 turnovers, 0. I mean, talk about just falling apart in 2 minutes and 30 seconds, doing absolutely nothing. You can't have done less than the Rockets did. You can't.
Right. Well, it follows up what happened against the Bulls, where they gave up scores on 10 of the final 11 possessions, and they took a lead against Miami over the weekend, and if not for a tip-in, they would have blown that game too. So this is now 3 games in a row where they fought back, taken a lead, and were more than willing to give it away. If the Heat could box out, it would have been a third straight time this has happened.
Yep. No, yeah, the last, when they took the lead against the Bulls with 5 minutes left, just nothing after that. Nothing. I mean, and now this, without Anthony Edwards. Holy crap.
I know. He had his little beanie on, and he looked like how hip-hop used to look in, like, 92. He had his, and there's some throwbacks going on. Like, I don't know if you've noticed. Have you noticed the big box T-shirts now? How it's really like boxy and big sleeves, and there's a whole new way that the style has really changed. My kids have super baggy pants again. Like, I'm telling you, the '90s are back. And Anthony Edwards was trying to rep it yesterday. That's that old Cypress Hill beanie that he was wearing. I have one. I mean, now Anthony, I didn't give that. That's Ant's not wearing mine from back in the day.
He didn't. That's not vintage, that. Lance Erline.
Mine was like red and white. So his is different. His is probably more expensive. I think I got mine from. I don't know. What's that skateboard shop back in the day?
What are you asking me for?
Well, you look like a skater.
Back in the day, why would I know?
Well,
this?
A skate shop. Journey.
Journey.
I got it from Journey. Okay. Yeah, I think I got it from Journey.
Oh, that's nice. Let's get Charlie in here. He's called in. Anybody else wants in? 713-780-3776. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Hey,
I just want to talk about the Rockets real quick. I just wanted to say something. I'm pretty sure that everyone's been thinking, man. This team has been embarrassing to watch this season, man. I can't believe the level of expectation this team had. And then to have the precipitous fall that is happening right now, like, they're literally getting embarrassed by every playoff team above them and below them even now. And it's gotten to the point now where I just want to turn the TV off and go watch something funny on YouTube just to get my mind off it. It's gotten, like, to the point where it's horrifying. It's like watching something bad on Instagram, like an old lady get hit on Instagram. You just want to turn it off. I can't believe, the management with Rafael Stone, how he didn't do nothing. No one can dribble the ball up court. Like, it's crazy. It's like watching a bunch of 5-year-olds play against a bunch of teenagers. No one knows how to pick the ball up. And I swear, I don't know if there's a stat somewhere, but I swear this team is probably leading the league in the amount of posterizing dunks they get on them. Like, Tari Eason's getting turned over and slammed on every game. Like, it's embarrassing. That's where I saw Aaron Holiday get dunked on twice in one game. Like, it makes no sense. And no one can shoot now, not even Kevin Durant. So it's embarrassing. And I don't know what they're going to do now.
That was a voice of the people right there.
Yeah.
You could see he was despondent from the beginning. He had nothing but truths to say, and he wasn't trying to even play games or joke around. He was just telling you the facts. Stinky, stinky. People getting dunked on, and they do look like little kids bringing a ball up. They look like me versus Angleton when they used to full court press and they had those double nets.
Was it Yates who used to press all the time?
They would press with a 70-point lead.
Yeah. So the Rockets look like the teams Yates dealt with when they would just press them into submission.
God, I remember the coach started taking heat like, hey.
Come on, these are kids.
You're up 84.
You don't need goals. This is how we play.
That's it.
Yeah, Rockets aren't getting beat like that. But
no,
I honestly, you have to extend your pressure against the Rockets. Why would you not?
No, yeah.
Why would you not?
Or just meet them at half court and they'll just hand the ball to you. Meet him at half court. Yeah. Kevin Durant did that again last night. He just handed the ball to the defender at half court. I don't get this. Is multiple times he's done that. And this is not all on KD. KD is obviously, you know, he's one of the great, blah, 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 blah. But he's contributing. Eight assists and six turnovers is bad. Really, really bad.
Okay. And I know he takes accountability. He mentions and all that. That's great. I'll give him, you know, if he wants, I'll buy him a chicken. We're at St. Arnold right now. I'll buy him their hot chicken sandwich. If he wants to come here right now, I'll say, hey, man, thanks for taking accountability. I'm going to get you a chicken sandwich today. Would you like kettle fries? Would you like kettle chips or would you like fries? I'll get you their mushroom pizzas, delicious. But can you not do it? I'll buy you whatever you want here since you took accountability. That's great. But also, I'd like for you to not turn it over that much late in the game and not miss critical free throws. Oklahoma City, three times it's cost them games. Maybe Minnesota it cost them yesterday. I mean, it certainly could have taken it to a second overtime. You definitely lost the first game of the year against Oklahoma City. And there was a third game where he had critical, I think it was in December, where he had just critical free throw misses. And then the turnovers have become a major sticking point in March. Like, I'm glad you're accountable. Just stop doing it. Stop doing it. Did Ime ragdoll his team and throw him under the bus yesterday? I didn't see any comments from Ime. I had to go to bed. I'm like, what is this?
Ime just said, it just repeated, why lack of communication? Because of lack of communication. Why did the Rockets, how did you blow that lead? We didn't score. I mean, he was about as despondent as you can be. He probably said they didn't score. I'm sorry. He didn't say we didn't score. He don't take no accountability. It's always they didn't. You know, they weren't. My favorite is that last game, they weren't ready to play. Wait, that's a coach's job to get a team ready to play. That's the coach's job. The team is ready to play. That's what I do as a coach, get the team ready to play. His lack of accountability, Rafael's lack of doing anything, just sitting on his hands from before the season starts, the Rockets' inability to close out a game, the stupidest turnovers, okay, the lack of being able to score when they have to have a basket, the lack of clutch at the free throw line, that's the third game now that Kevin Durant has missed critical free throws at the end of the game where he could have tied or given them the lead. Third game now. This is an organization-wide just total collapse by this organization. And I know that they're pissed. I know they're pissed. I know that they're, but they can blame themselves, really, because they sat on their hands, did absolutely nothing to help this team when they had to have some help from the outside with all the injuries. They did absolutely nothing. And right now it's caught up to them. Just said, oh, well. And you know what? And it's a product that was supposed to be, this was supposed to be a great year. You know where the Spurs are right now? Two games behind Oklahoma City. This is where the Rockets were supposed to be. The Spurs are so far ahead of what the Rockets, they're doing exactly what the Rockets were trying to do. The Spurs did it in less time. Of course, they picked up the best player in the league at the time by doing it. But that's where the Spurs are. The Spurs are exactly where we thought the Rockets would be right now. And the Rockets are the sixth seed.
That is sickening. That is sickening. We had a head start. And granted, Wemby's great. And, you know, I know, but that's supposed to be us. That was supposed to be us. We had the young Bulls last year, the young Bucks who were all up in your face, throwing people around, getting in people's face. Like, man, that team was just a pack of wild dogs. It was so much fun to watch. Now it's just disgusting. They don't have that same juice. And I hate to have the same storyline conversations all the time. It's old. It's tired. I don't want to bore listeners where they say, these guys talk about the same things. But I have a hard time getting over the fact that last year it just seemed like everything was them playing for each other as a brotherhood. Yeah. And now it just seems like a collection of guys out there. There doesn't seem like they don't seem to have a cohesiveness as a unit. I really don't. I don't see the same brotherhood. I don't see the same running over, rushing over to pick someone up when someone goes down. It's the little things that I don't see. I cannot be the only one who sees this. There's got to be other people who maybe played the game, high school coaches, anybody. But surely some of you guys see the fact that it's not that, – that something is off here. This team does not look like they're having fun. No, they do not look like they are attacking games anymore.
No. Well – again, I'm not going to question their effort. They tried their ass off last night. They're just not good enough. They're just not good enough. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. I protested my taxes by myself. I made a mistake. But I didn't know about Ownwell at the time. I know about Ownwell now. I wish I had a house just so I could use Ownwell. I wish I had a house in Houston so I could protest my taxes there. I don't know if there is an Ownwell in California. I would use them. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case here. I don't know if you can. I don't even know if you can protest your taxes here. I don't even know. I do know in Texas they say, okay, are we wrong? Yeah, you're wrong 88% of the time because that's how often Ownwell wins. Harris County, Montgomery County, Brazoria County, y'all, Ownwell is owning the government in all of those counties, and it's coming up. Most counties, May 15th is the deadline to protest. So we're coming up on it. It's quicker than you think. I used to just throw my property tax, and I just throw it on the counter or throw it in a drawer. Don't be that guy. Call right now. It takes just 3 minutes to sign up, and Ownwell takes care of everything after that. And you only pay a small percentage of what they win. Don't wait. The deadline to protest, May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at Ownwell.com. That's Ownwell.com. And let them know that I sent you when you complete your sign up at Ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the St. Arnold Beer Garden. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so what's...
Hey, can we talk about something positive like opening day? Rockets, no more headspace for them in 7 o'clock hour. It was a historic loss in overtime. No one had ever lost a game leading by 13 by that amount of. It's the biggest comeback in the history of overtime since they've kept that stat in basketball. Okay, so that's that. But we have opening day. We had Eric Gedde ended up getting moved down. And AJ, I want you to bring up Underwood, Brad Underwood, the coach for Illinois. Sound. Yeah, he was talking about Kingston Flemings and. I gave it to you also, so just bring that up, AJ. Let me know when you have it. So the head coach at Illinois, this figures to be tonight one of the best battles of March, of certainly of the Sweet 16, is Illinois-Houston. Houston's about a 2.5-point favorite. And
was
Illinois's head coach,
half,
Brad Underwood.
Was 3.5.
Yeah, it's 2.5 right now, which makes sense. Illinois is a tough team. That's going to be a tough battle. And Brad Underwood was talking. No, he's got it. Brad Underwood was talking about Kingston Flemings and the impact he has.
Yeah, very similar in terms of I think coach's approach to has been very similar to what ours is. He's turned the ball over. He's turned the reins over. Rightfully so. He's earned that respect. He's a tremendous athlete. He's been a big shot maker for them. He competes at a very high level. As does Keaton. And, it took us a little bit throughout the season, especially early, to get Keaton in that role. They're both, I would say, mature beyond their years in terms of poise, Obviously the successes both those young men have had this season are, you know, are pretty paralleled in terms of their growth and what their impact's been on their team.
Wagler is the is his guard that is
Keaton
tremendous.
Wagler, yeah.
He's averaging almost 18 a game. Really, really, really good. That's going to be a hell
Big
of a matchup.
Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Big Ten Freshman of the Year, averaging 17-8 a game. Freshman, as you mentioned, 6'6", so good size. These are a battle of two.
He's going to be a good pro. I think he's underrated as far as his professional.
He's not talked about nearly as much as certainly Kingston Fleming's is.
No. And here's the problem tonight. Mirkovic, Stojakovic,
Freshman.
Ivicevic, Homricius, Petrovic, Juxtis.
Oh, wait, Bain. They have a...
I mean...
Yeah, they've got... Wait, wait, is that Drazen's son?
That's...
Well, Drazen's son only... No, Petrovic.
Yeah.
Is that his son? He only averages a point a game, so he's not a problem. But Stojakovic's son is Andre Stojakovic is a big problem.
Yeah.
He is a big problem.
No, they're all problems. When you got this many bitches, you got this many bitches that you got to deal with. Okay.
You bitches wishes I would. Or what did I say?
You bitches wishes you had this.
Yeah, you bitches wishes you had this.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Cougs are saying that to them at the end of the game. But they got some bitches on their team, and or at least some itches. They got more. It's really less bitches and more itches. But, yeah, Mirkovic, Ivicic, and then, as you said, Stojakovic.
So I believe Drazen has been dead longer than this kid.
Yeah, he's
23 years. He's
his grandkids might be playing in this.
but Stojakovic, Page's son, he had 21 against VCU. Page's son can score in a variety of ways.
Yep.
And you mentioned the freshman, David Mirkovic. Oh, man, is he looking – he's starting to get better and better and better. He was tough in the tournament as well. Yeah, the Cougs have their hands full tonight. This is a great matchup. I think Illinois is going to go a little deeper than the Cougs will, but I don't know. Who cares? I don't care. When I say deeper to the bench. I mean, in that regard. But, the battle of Wagler versus Flemings is going to be
the – They got five guys that score in double figures. Five guys. So they can score. I mean, you got to guard every single guy, and this is their toughest test. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah.
This is the toughest test, especially now that Florida's out of it. The other side, I think this is the Final Four game right here.
So as John mentioned, this Tomislav Ivicic, he's got 101 three-pointers. He's the first in the NCAA by a seven-footer in the last 2 years, which, whatever that means, 2 years, a little data dredging. But they have a 7'1" center who can knock down threes, who's averaging, you know, close to three a game. So 2.7 a game. So you've got Mirkovic, who's a little bulkier and stronger. Then you've got Ivicic, who can step out and score from distance. Then you've got off the bench Stojakovic, and then as John mentioned, the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, second team All-American, Keaton Wagler. So, I mean, I had Illinois beating Houston in the bracket. Certainly don't hope that happens, but I do think that I think a lot of the bettors are going to take their shots on a little bit deeper team. But, you know, everyone's got to play in until they taste Houston's best effort. And Houston's best effort, especially when it comes to an intensity standpoint, as I can't remember who Houston was talking to. It was a first round matchup, but it wasn't. I don't think it was the Aggies. I think it was their first round matchup. They were talking about the fact that you can't simulate Houston. Like you can't take your players from your second team and simulate what you're going to see from Houston's defense. You have no way to simulate Houston. You just don't. And even if you have a good first-team unit, they can't play against themselves. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the Big Ten is a good basketball conference, John, but everyone's got a plan until they see that intensity start to jam up on them.
Just to, well, though, he takes three a game. He makes one, less than one a game. He averages 6.8 a game.
He averages
0.8 per game.
Ivicic?
Yeah.
They've got him with 101 three-point field goals, first in the NCAA by seven-footer.
Well, there's two Ivicic's.
I'm talking about Tomislav.
Oh, I'm talking about Zvonimir. Okay.
Oh, that guy sucks.
Well,
I don't know if he sucks.
No,
I'm talking about Tomislav Ivicic.
Oh, okay.
He's a three-point maker.
He averages one and a half a game. One and a half makes a game, yeah. And he's been at Illinois the last two. Now, I don't know if they're related or what, but the other Ivicic has been to three different places, played at Arkansas, played at Kentucky, and now in Illinois. So they've got a couple Ivicic's, and they've got Mirovic, and they got a Stojakovic, and this is going – the Vitches are going to be a big, big problem tonight. It's going to be fun. That's the last game of the night, and they love putting the Cougs last game of the night, and it's going to cap off a brilliant day as the Astros take care of business in the opener with Hunter Brown. And by the way, did you see Zach Neto is here? And those two do not like each other. They started a bullpen clearing brawl last year. So we'll see the two of them hooking up again tonight, or this afternoon rather. Hunter Brown on the mound. That's going to be fun. Mike Burrows tomorrow, and then Christian Javier in game three. Let's break 713-780-3776. We'll break in. We'll go into what the Astros are going to do this season and what Major League Baseball is looking at after the opener last night on Netflix, which nobody saw. We will do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't call
me. That's rude.
ESPN 97.5. This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the St. Arnold Beer Garden. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Astros, Angels, today, 3 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. We don't have the game today, but we're working on it. That's another station. Another station's got the game.
We're working on it?
Well, we're working on it. I don't know if we're going to get it ever come through, but we're working on it.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah, like we pick up, when the Texans played the Cowboys, we had the Texans.
Oh, remember? Yeah.
If you want to right? So if the Astros play Sunday Night Baseball, we would have them on ESPN?
Yes.
I'm just trying to figure out. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, that is true. I mean, that happens. That happens plenty, actually. Yeah. And we are allowed to play that.
Used to happen a lot. I'm not sure it's going to keep on happening. The Astros
The
Astros are not as relevant as they used to be. They're just not. And that's a shame. Hopefully they get off to a hot start. Hopefully this pitching comes through early on. I got a lot of hope in this pitching staff. Honestly, what are your biggest concerns about the rotation?
My biggest concerns are health. I mean, when it comes right down to it, how can you make a determination of a lineup if you can't keep Christian Javier, two of your five guys healthy?
Well,
McCullers and Christian Javier. I mean, I don't know how you can have, because then all of a sudden everyone gets pushed up. Blue ball. Well, here comes Arrigetti. Here comes maybe blue ball into the starting
Weiss
rotation. And so there's Weiss made the team, by the way. So then it has a domino effect on the entire pitching staff. My number one concern is that. Now, if you want to try to get into just baseball-related stuff, I would say, you know, how many of these pitchers – I know the swing and miss is a really big deal. I think one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough is the pitch-to-contact pitchers. The ones who can – like Fromber was at times, but other times, you know, it's great to have the swing and miss. You know what that leads to? Really high pitch counts in the first five innings. And then you're going to your bullpen and you wear the bullpen out during the year. Every once in a while, having some guys who can just induce ground balls, can pitch to contact, get hitters to swing at their pitches and, you know, not hit the ball hard on the exit velo, not really barrel up on it. That's great because you can go six innings and occasionally seven innings.
Yeah.
And I think it really has an impact on keeping your bullpen fresh. And the Astros have always wanted to, you know, swing and miss. And I totally get it. Nothing bad happens when somebody swings and misses. However, with that said, one of the things that we've seen from 17 on, I mean, you can take any pitcher you want that's been really, really good. Their pitch count will get a little high because they also don't give in and throw. You know, very few of the Astros pitchers will give in. Fromber was one of the worst slash best at it. He wouldn't give in. He would rather walk you than let you get your pitch to hit. Now, he could induce a lot of double plays, and he didn't give up a ton of home runs, so that was great. But I just think these high pitch counts and getting men on, allowing men on base because you keep trying to get the swing and miss and you don't want to give in, at some point that really catches up with you. And
My biggest concern is not health. It's whether or not they're still any good. It's Christian Javier's fastball.
Oh, that's a fundamental.
Yeah. No.
That's an existential threat.
And it's not Brown. It's not Burroughs. It's not Imai. You know, I think that there might be struggles Imai with coming over here, and we'll see whether or not he's good enough for major league pitching. He's got the stuff, though. Holy crap, has he got the stuff. Burroughs has got the stuff. I don't know that Javier's got the stuff anymore. I don't know that. I don't know that Lance McCullers, obviously, whether I don't know how long he's going to be able to go, and whether or not, you know, he's not 2017, 26 straight curveballs Lance McCullers anymore. He's just not that guy anymore. I don't know that either of those guys are good enough to be in a contending team's rotation. That's my biggest concern on that.
Yeah,
my second biggest concern is having some consistency offensively. I mean, Altuve's coming off an okay year. Jordan's coming off a crap year, a just total collapse. He wasn't good when he played, and he didn't play. Paredes got hurt midway through. He was really, really good. Correa was meh. He was okay, meh. Jeremy Peña was good. Jake had his best year, and he was still just meh. Cam Smith, inconsistent. Started great. But Walker was terrible last year. I mean, you got a lot of questions offensively.
I'm not going to lie. Jordan feels like a 34-year-old right now. The way that his performance, 6 home runs last year think about this, and you don't even want to extrapolate it because it gets really bad. And I know he had hand issues, but then it just turned into he just didn't get lift. This guy had last year, he had 165 at-bats and had 6 home runs. Just terrible. I mean, just terrible by his standards. His projections this year, according to Baseball Reference, I mean, they're projecting missed time. That's all they can do using the recent history. They project 363 plate appearances, 18 home runs.
Oh, my God. 363, he's going to miss half the season.
That's
about 60% of the season. 600-some at-bats in a regular season.
Baseball Reference, he has 311 at-bats, 363 plate appearances. But 311 at-bats, they project 18 home runs, 53 RBIs, and an OPS of 904. You know, so, I mean, yeah, 904 would be awesome, but not if you're only playing that many
games.
That's
not great for him. 904 is not great for him.
904 OPS is, I would take a 904. Yeah, by his standards, sure.
It's not
that's
great.
True. But I would take it. His career is 961.
Yeah.
I mean, last year was
797. That's a below-average year. That's a below-average year for him.
I'll take over 900.
I'll take over 900 right now, too, because he wasn't close to that. Let's get Sean in here. He wants to talk about the Astros. Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's up, guys? We all know Johnny Wood, where his place is. We know what he's going for. But, hey, today, Astros, we're going to win by 10 because we got the hunter against the trout. Who wins? The hunter wins against the trout. That's every true. Single time.
Yeah.
Ain't true. No way. Ain't no way.
Well,
we know because, hey, Johnny Wood, we know your alliance to stay over there.
What?
What?
Are your alliances L.A. now, Johnny?
Yeah, my,
he just called you Johnny Wood, and he said over there. He said your alliances stay over there.
No, my alliances
are you aligned with the Angels?
I'm not. I am not an Angels or Dodger guy. Trust me on that, pal. All right, Sean, don't say stupid stuff when you call in. That's stupid stuff. That's stupid stuff you're talking about.
No, sir. No, sir. Not at all. Hunter. The hunter is going to get the trout, son. That's it.
I wish
I'd like it better if there was a pitcher named Fisher.
Fisher.
Yeah.
I wish we had a Fisher.
Hunters.
Well,
I think
we can't Fisher Browns. That doesn't work really that well.
No.
But, hey,
no.
Yeah. I do what I
Blake Fisher.
Tried. Hey, look. Hey, dude,
I appreciate the effort.
All right, that was pretty good.
I appreciate the effort. I see what you're doing. You know, it's the oldest, one of the oldest battles in the book. Is you take the mascot and you say this mascot would beat up this mascot, so we're going to win. And he's just going to simple, you know, Mike Trout versus Hunter Brown, and so you have the hunter beating the.
Yeah.
It's not perfect. A fisherman might have been better if you had a Fisher.
Yeah, you had Fisher.
And sometimes the Trouts do beat the fishermen. I hate to tell you.
I don't know.
Sometimes.
All right.
I mean,
we got calls.
The fish aren't always caught.
We got calls that we get to on the other side. Y'all want to talk Astros? Let's go. We'll get Frank and Keith in here on the other side. But right now, we got a little underdog.
Ooh, are we going to go higher on strikeouts for Hunter Brown? Is that what we're saying? Since the hunter is going to beat most of the people in that lineup because he's a hunter, if we're using that, from like the last caller said. I know this. I've got college. I mean, I'm looking today. I'm looking at college basketball hires or lowers. I'm looking at the higher and lower in for your team, for your hometown baseball team here, the Astros. I mean, I'm looking. I'm going to pull that up. I haven't looked at them yet. I do know right now, oh, my gosh, I've got a 75% boost, profit boost in my lobby. 75% boost. $20 max, that's fine. I'll throw four of them in there and try to hit it big. That's what I can do. I've also got a 50% MLB boost. It's MLB only, so you only want to pick baseball teams. See, this is an example. I tell you a lot about the high and the low, the stats, the total outs that a pitcher gets, the strikeouts, the total bases, doubles. You want to go higher or lower than 0.5. You know, there's all these different stats to choose from. But you know what's really great is the amount of profit boosting and free winners that they will give you. They'll have one like, if he pitches more than one pitch, you win. Oh, okay, well, I just won. So now I got one in the books. This is how Underdog makes it so much easier for you to win big money. And it's legal here in the state of Texas. Nobody else in the space does it like Underdog Fantasy. The user interface is fantastic, but they're just finding ways to give you higher payouts. And all you got to do is pick those winners. Just study the games and go higher or lower on the stats. Don't be afraid to go lower on stats, okay? Don't be that guy that's always higher. You're not going to win. You got to pick higher. But get some lowers in there as well. You got March Madness. You got Major League Baseball. You got NBA. You can pick and choose, or you can stay with one sport and try to knock it out of the ballpark. Use promo code Lance, get $50 of bonus entries when you make your first $5 play, but you must download the Underdog app and use promo code Lance.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-MY-RESET or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.